Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Whew, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I am rejoicing, glad in it. Thanking you all for your prayers. Thanking you all for lifting me up this morning and lifting me up this week as I have been dealing with coughing and issues. And so I did go to the doctor and found out I had a sinus infection and a bronchial infection. But God, hallelujah, but God is all I can say. This morning, he woke me up, just clothed in my right mind, feeling like a new me. Hallelujah. We have to get rid of the old so God can get the new. Hallelujah. I'm feeling much better today. Can I say amen and hallelujah? Thank you, Jesus. The power of prayer. I thank God for my pastor, a praying pastor, a praying church. Hallelujah. I'm feeling a whole new way. I just feel different today. Feel like a new me, a better me, a me that's ready to tackle whatever it is I need to tackle for the Lord. So I'm grateful. I'm thankful. And I can say it. Woo, I am blessed. Hallelujah. Better than blessed. I am a child of God. And I know that I know he loves me. And he has been there for me through ups, through downs, through thick, through thin. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father God, I come this morning feeling better, sounding better, and knowing that you are in charge of my life, God. And I ask you, Father God, as always, please increase as I decrease, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. For healing me, Lord, for guiding me, Lord, for showing me what to do and how to do it, God. And, Lord, I am your humble servant, ready to be used by you. In Jesus' name, I pray for all listeners, Lord God. I'm lifting them up today, those that may be also dealing with this horrible air that's out. Those that may be dealing with other sicknesses and illness, Lord, I pray you give them peace to know that you, God, are in charge and you are with them. Wherever they go, you are with them. In the ups, you are with them. In the downs, you are with them. Everywhere that they may be, Lord God, I give a special prayer for my seniors, God, asking you to watch over each and every one of them. Watch over all the seniors of this planet, God. Those especially that don't have family members that love them and are there for them. I lift them up, God, asking you to send an angel. Send someone to them that would be there for them. In the name of Jesus, I pray for our children, God, that our babies should not be afraid to go to school, because they think someone's going to come in and kill them. Lord God, I ask you to give legislatures all over this country righteous mind. Remove the desire for more, more, more from the hearts of the 1% that they will want to help and not hinder. That there's never, they act like there's never enough. But we know, Lord God, that your word has said that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, God. So, Father God, we're asking you to take control, and to show these people that there is one God, and he is you. Show us all, God, that it is one God, and he is you. I know you're getting our attention, God. I know that you're getting our attention, God. And I pray, Lord God, that we heed it. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this month is turning into one of the hottest months in 125,000 years. God is so trying to get our attention. The question is, are we listening? Do you feel it? You know, I'm as I'm studying our word for today, we are in Old Testament Friday, and we'll be coming out of Second Chronicles starting at chapter 9, and we'll be going to chapter 14. And so we have a little bit of word this morning, but I just wanted to say, as I'm reading this, you know, God can put people in charge that are so bright, so wonderful. And then there's something, and I know, kick you off track. So the next thing you know, you're like, how did I get here? Because you didn't keep your focus on God. You start letting your focus go here, go there, go all over, because you have chaos. And God has showed me, you know, how chaos starts. And the enemy is the author of chaos. You know, he will come in, and he will just try to take over. And we have to learn how to say, not today. Not today. We got to trust God. And I'm saying not today. You know, just a minute. You know, I was like, you know you want to cough. No, I don't. We're going to read the word of God, and we're going to study it. And we're going to put our mind and our spirit on the word of God, because God's word is true. He's always there. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's going to be with us through ups, through downs. You know, and the word that God gave for my prayer for this morning on July 7th is not defeated. Every child of God defeats the evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. 1 John 5:4 NLT. Great King, mighty God, just when I thought I was down and out, when the walls of darkness had closed in and I thought they were crushing me, you showed up with your strong hand of mercy to save me. I am not a victim to the world or its ways. I am not doomed to be stuck under another's thumb all the days of my life. I am free in you, Jesus. It is in that freedom I find my victory. As your child, my inheritance is bigger than my current circumstances. When you shine your light on me, I can see with eyes of faith the better path you have laid out. I don't have to walk in the ways of this world that lead to death. I will walk with you on the pathway of peace in choosing to walk in your example of love. I become an overcomer. Thank you, Father, for the different tactics you take that are unlike the world and its ways. Your standard is better. Hallelujah. And the question was, in what area of feeling defeated can you invite the Lord in today? Woo said, I laughed. I said, Lord, you know that word was all for me. Because when you don't feel good, when you just feel like, oh my goodness, Lord, what is going on? And then I remembered something my pastor said, that when a move of God happens, the enemy comes And we've been having some serious moves of God on this blog. We have been having some serious moves of God in his word. His word has been so rich and has been filling us up. I know I've been filled up. And Sister Carolyn has been sending words that encourage and enlighten. And he hit her last week. And now this week he's going to hit me, but the devil's a lie and there's no truth in him. I know who my daddy is, and I know he's more powerful than anything and anybody. Why? Because he created everything. And all I can say is thank you, Father. Father. Now let's get in our word. Join me in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with hard questions, having a very great retinue, camels that bore spices, gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for Solomon that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters in their apparel, his cupbearer, entry by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, it was a true report, which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe their words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. You exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delights in you, setting you on his throne for the Lord your God, because your God has loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore, he made you king over them to do justice and righteousness. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great abundance, and precious stones. There never were any spices such as those the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. After the servants of Hiram and the servants of Solomon who brought gold from Orpah brought wood and precious stones. And the king made walkways of the algum wood for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also harps and stringed instruments for singers, and there were none in the land of Judah. Because, you know, that was David's heart. David loved the instruments. He loved praising God. Now King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, much more than she had, and brought to the king. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. And we all know that there's those that say that the Queen of Sheba was actually from Ethiopia. And that's where the Jewish faith in Ethiopia started, was because of the Queen of Sheba and her descendants, which was the last one was supposed to have been Haile Selassie, who, I don't get me lying about that, but I know that he was supposed to have been the last of her descendants, which is where I think the Rastafarians come from, but don't quote me on that either. But that is what she asked for. What she wanted was a child. But I always look, because if you already know, the one thing about the word of God is he's pretty good about telling everything, and it'll say, and he came into her, and that was not here. So I don't know. That's one of those things that you put a pin in and keep on moving. And it says the weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold, besides what the traveling merchants and traders brought, and all the kings of Arabia and governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon. And King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shekels of hammered gold went into each shield. 300 shields of hammered gold, 300 shekels of gold went into each shield. The king put them in the house of the forts of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory. And I just thought about that, how gorgeous it would have been had it just been the ivory. But instead, he overlaid it with pure gold. The throne had six steps with a footstool of gold, which were fastened to the throne. There were armrests on each side of the place of the seat, and two lions stood beside the armrests. 12 lions stood there, one on each side of the six steps. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forts of Lebanon were pure gold. Not one was silver, for this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. For the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the merchant ships came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. So now you know how apes and monkeys wound up in Jerusalem and around that area. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches, wisdom, and all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Each man brought his present, articles of silver and gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, and mules at a set rate year by year. Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses, chariots, and 12,000 horsemen whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king at Jerusalem. So he reigned over all the kings from the river to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones, and he made cedar trees as abundant as the sycamores which are in the lowland. And they brought horses to Solomon from Egypt and from all lands. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet, in the prophecy of Ahijah and the Shilonite, and in the visions of Iddo, the seer, concerning Jeroboam, the son of Nebat? Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years, and Solomon rested with his father and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place. Wow. And we're going to go back and do a life lesson from chapter 9. And it says, happy are those your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. And that's Second Chronicles 9:7. It says, perhaps Solomon listened too eagerly to glowing declarations of his great wisdom. He knew he had received this gift from God, yet we have no record that he reminded the queen of the fact. You know, sometimes the hype, you know, you forget who brought you to who brought you to the dance. You know, you forget who gave you the gift that you have. You forget that everything you have comes from God. And you start thinking it comes from this person, that person. It comes from my job. It comes from my this. It comes from my that. No. Everything we have comes from God, including the overflow. It comes from God. Don't ever get it twisted. God is the source of everything. And so many times we think, I made it. I did. I that. I didn't do anything. I didn't even wake me up this morning. God did. We got to get out of the I business and into the his business. Come on now. And it says, King Solomon, we all need God's wisdom. when God invited Solomon to ask for wanted, the king requested wisdom. That God-given wisdom taught Solomon the only a fool tries to solve life's problems without God's help. Anytime we spend wondering about how to get out of a touchy situation in time, wasted. It is time wasted. God's guidance is more than sufficient for all the tests or trials we might have to face. But to benefit from it, we have to seek it out, just as Solomon did so long ago. In this life, tests come in all shapes and sizes. Some we anticipate, others blindside us in the middle of a rainy afternoon. Yeah, like a tree in the middle of your driveway and shingles torn off your house. Come on, don't tell me what God will do. God will come in and show out, you know, tear up some stuff, you know, electricity out for a week in some places. We better know that God is in charge and he's trying. I say it again because it's been in my spirit. God is trying to get our attention. So many of his people have fallen by the wayside, going after he said, she said, and not what God said. And it says some tests require us to endure. Others ask us to make the right decisions immediately. Regardless of the package in which the test comes wrapped, God instructs us to come to him for the wisdom we so desperately need. Chapter 10 of 2 Chronicles. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it, he was in Egypt where he had fled from the presence of King Solomon, that Jeroboam returned from Egypt. Then they sent for him and called him. And Jeroboam and all Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. So he said to them, come back to me after 3 days, and the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, saying, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, if you are kind to these people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke put on us? Now understand, his circle is a circle of privilege. These are all folks brought up in luxury. All the folks brought up like him, basically spoiled. And so they have no concept of work. They have no concept of kindness. They think they are all that because they have. And we have to teach our children, even if you have, you still have to have compassion for others. You still have to have love for others. You can't put yourself out there like you did all that and some, as we used to say back in our day, a bag of chips, because you're going to find out there's somebody that will take that bag of chips and step on it. So we got to stop and train our children to be good no matter what you have. You always have a hand to lift somebody else up so that they have a hand to lift somebody else up, and they have a hand to lift somebody else up. So if we lifting each other up, each other down, or as some said, there are those that have that will take the ladder that they climbed up on and knock it down or pull it up so nobody else can come up to where they are. So these young men have no concept of kindness. It says, then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, that you should speak to the people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, there, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips, but I was chastening you with scourges. And those things had like nails and and other things on them so that they tore the skin off. You know, that's what Jesus was whipped with. That's why Jesus was a bloody, tore up mess when he, by the time he got to the cross, was because they had added this stuff to it. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day as the king had directed, saying, come back to me the third day. Then the king answered them roughly. King Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders, and he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scourges. Excuse me. So the king did not listen to the people, but the turn of events was from God, and that the Lord might fulfill his words, which he had spoken by the hand of Ahijah, the Shilonite, the Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, what share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David. So all Israel departed to their tents, but Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Hart, who was in charge of revenue by the children of Israel, but the children of Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel had been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. And so this is the tearing of the kingdom under Solomon's son, because he listened to his peers and not to men of wisdom who had guided his father, who had guided his grandfather, who had taught him how to do what's right, and who chose men who listened to God. But again, God is in charge of everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. God is in charge. And this was all God told him, the kingdom apart, because of what Solomon did. You know, idols and all this that he allowed. And remember, this young man is the son of one of those women that were idolaters. And now he's about to become something else. So let's read on, because I told y'all, the word of God, you have everything. You have good. You have ugly. You have downright ugly. And messy and nasty too. But understand, everything in this word, excuse me, is to help us be better. To help us be better, men and women of God. And it says, now when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled from the house of Judah and Benjamin 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, saying, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your brethren. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. Therefore, they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back from attacking Jeroboam. So Rehoboam dwelt in Jerusalem and built cities for defense in Judah. And he built Bethlehem, Etham, Tekoa, Beth Zor, Sokoth, Adullam, Gath, Merishai, Zeph, Adorim, Lachish, Ezekiah, Zora, Ajalon, and Hebron. And if you listen to these names, they are names that you will see in this word of God down the way. Bethlehem, we know, is where Jesus was born. And we talk about Lachish all the time. You know, so all of these are cities that, as you find, were built by Rehoboam. So everything builds on another thing in the word of God. And it goes on to say, Judah and Benjamin fortified cities, and he fortified the strongholds and put captains in them
and stores of food, oil, and wine, also in every city. He put shields and spears and made them very strong, having Judah and Benjamin on his side. And from all their territories, the priests and the Levites who were in all Israel took their stand with him. For the Levites left their common land and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem. But Jeroboam and his sons had rejected them from serving as priests to the Lord. Then he appointed for himself priests for the high priest places, for the demons and the calf idols which he had made. And after the Levites left, those from all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong for 3 years, because they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. Then Rehoboam took for himself as a wife Mahalath, the daughter of Jeremoth, the son of David, and of Abijah, the daughter of Eliah, the son of Jesse. And she bore him children, Jaash, Shamariah, Zaham. After her, he took Michai, the granddaughter of Epsilon, and she bore him Abijah, Attai, Zizah, Zizai, and Shelemith. Now, Rehoboam loved Michai, the granddaughter of Epsilon, more than all his wives and his concubines, for he took 18 wives and 60 concubines, and begot 28 sons and 60 daughters. And Rehoboam appointed Abijah, the son of Micah, as chief, to be leader among his brothers, for he intended to make him king. He dealt wisely and dispersed some of his sons throughout all the territories of Judah and Benjamin. To every fortified city he gave them provisions in abundance. He also sought many wives for them. Now it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him. And it happened in the 5th year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord with 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen, and people without number who came with him out of Egypt, the Lubim and the Shechem and the Ethiopians. And he took the fortified cities of Judah and came to Jerusalem. Then Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and the leaders of Judah, who were gathered together in Jerusalem because of Shechem, and said to them, "Thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore I also have left you in the hands of Shechem." And so the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, "The Lord is righteous." And that's our title for this morning. The Lord is righteous. Now when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, "They have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. My wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they will be his servants, that they may distinguish my service from the service of the kingdom of the nations." So Shechem, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took everything. He also carried away the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorways to the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guard would go and bring them out. Then they would take them back to the guard room. Then he humbled himself. The wrath of the Lord turned from him so as not to destroy him completely, and things also went well in Judah. Thus King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned now. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had out of the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, and an Ammonite too. And he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. The acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of the Shemaiah, the prophet, and of Iddo, the seer, concerning genealogies? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. So Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. Then Abijah, his son, reigned in his place. And let's go back and get some life lessons from this word for today. In 2 Chronicles 11:4, you shall not go up to fight against your brethren, for this thing is from me. King Rehoboam wanted to reunite the divided kingdom by the sword, but the prophet Shemaiah was sent to prevent him from proceeding. Why? Because God allowed the division of the kingdom to correct Rehoboam's cruelty and greed. Sometimes we'll want to fight against the discipline that God sends. However, we should, as quickly we acknowledge God's rebuke, the faster we can set us back on the right track. Come on now. Yeah, God will be our behind, and we just have to accept it and repent and move forward. Excuse me. Not today. 2 Chronicles 11:15, he appointed for himself priests for the high places, for the demons and the calf idols which he had made. Here we go again. This is one of the few places in the Bible where we learn that pagan worship actually honors demons. Did y'all catch that? See Deuteronomy 32:17, the 106th Psalm, verse 37, 1 Corinthians 10:20. We are to worship God alone. Remember that. We don't worship anybody. We worship God. Hallelujah. Can't make anything to worship God. You can't make a picture. Worship. Oh, well, let me make this little picture, or let me make this cup, or let me make this. No. Put your hands together and pray. We worship. We do good. We do kindness. We act the way God wants us to act. We don't have to make anything to worship him. We just worship him. You don't have to have a statue to worship. That's idolatry. Statue that is made and folks are kissing it and bowing down to it, that is idolatry. You've got to understand it. When Rehoboam had established the kingdom, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with them. If we should grow strong and prosperous, we must beware the temptation to attribute our prosperity to our own ingenuity. That's the truth. God alone prospers us. We never outgrow our need for him. I have came from God. But it comes from God because I know that he will provide. Come on now. 2 Chronicles 12:1. In 2 Chronicles 12:7, I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. In its grace, the Lord granted some deliverance to the disobedient leaders of Israel who humbled themselves, but he still let them taste the serious consequences of their rebellion. And what did they do? Lost all that gold. You think about it. That big old beautiful golden throne, ivory encased in gold, all those gold lions. Everything, they took it because of disobedience. And as we go into our last chapter for this morning, in Chronicles, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, Abijah became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Geba. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah set the battle in order with an army of valiant warriors, 400,000 choice men. Jeroboam also drew up in battle formation against him with 800,000. Wow. 400,000 against 800,000 choice men, mighty men of valor. So Jeroboam had twice the army of Abijah. And Abijah stood on Mount Zemoram, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, and said, "Hear me, Jeroboam and all Israel. Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever to him and his sons by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, rose up and rebelled against his Lord. Then worthless rogues gathered to him and strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. When Rehoboam was young and inexperienced and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hand of the sons of David. And you are a great multitude, and with you are the gold calves which Jeroboam made for you as God. Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, the Levites, and made for yourselves priests like the people of other lands, so that whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and seven rams may be a priest of things that are not God? But for us, the Lord is our God. We have not forsaken him. And the priests who minister to the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites attend to their duties. And they burn to the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. They also set the showbread in order on the pure gold table and the lampstands of gold with its lamps to burn every evening, for we keep the commands of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. Now look, God himself is with us as our head, and his priests with sounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you, O children of Israel. Do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. But Jeroboam caused an ambush to go around behind them, so they were in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them. And when Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle lines was at both front and rear. And they cried out to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and all the men of Judah shouted. It happened that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah, and the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hands. Then Abijah and his people struck them with a great slaughter. So 500,000 choice men of Israel fell slain. Thus the children of Israel were subdued at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. And Abijah pursued Jeroboam and took cities from him, Bethel with its villages, Jeshaniah with its villages, and Ephraim with its villages. So Jeroboam did not recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. But Abijah grew mighty, married 14 wives, and begot 22 sons and 16 daughters. Now the rest of the acts of Abijah was his ways, and his sayings are written in the annals of the prophet Iddo. And as we go back over a life lesson from chapter 13, it says in chapter 13 and 18, the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. The people of Judah prevailed despite clever military tactics by the enemy. Why? Only one reason. They relied on the Lord, sovereign God. We are never victims of our circumstances. No one who opposes the Lord and his kingdom will ultimately prevail. God rules over all, and he knows how to deliver his people. Praise the Lord. Chapter 14. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandments. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built 45 cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates, and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered 300,000 from Judah who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. Then Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Mereshah. So Asa went out against them, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathah and Mereshah. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. Woo, what a word. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gera. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. Then they defeated all the cities around Gera, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. And as we go to the life lessons from 2 Chronicles 14:4, he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandments. It is impossible to seek God without first seeking him. We must seek him first, appropriate his strength, and then obey his commands by the power of his spirit. 2 Chronicles 14:11, Lord, it is nothing for you to help. Hallelujah. We got to have that in our spirit. It is nothing for you to help. What looks daunting and even impossible to us is precisely nothing to the Lord. When we fight our battles on our knees, we win every time. And that is our word for this morning. And I got to say that one more time. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. When we fight our battles on our knees, we win every time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And I have one more prayer. Willingly tethered, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Proverbs 27:9, NIV. It says, faithful friend, you are the best companion I've ever known. No one is like you. You are more faithful than my own family. You are willing to go where I go and meet me on my terms, and yet you are constantly pulling me out of my shell and into the great unknown where you love to venture. What a joy it is to know you and to be known by you. When I am too weak to leave my home, you keep me company. When I have problems and need solving, you listen with the ear of skilled counselor. You offer the best advice I could ever hope to find. With you, my closest confidant, I find I can just be myself. I don't have to put on airs or try to clean myself up. You delight in me just as I am, and I can't help but do the same. Thank you for your friendship. That is more meaningful than any other relationship I've known. You are the one in whom my soul delights and finds its home. And it says, this is a question. What is it like when you are around your closest friend? And I say, your closest friend is Jesus. Closest friend will be with you wherever you go. Your closest friend is the one that holds your hand when you're coughing, when you're throwing, when you're under attack. Jesus. So thank God every day as you say, whew, deep breath, it's all good. The enemy will try to attack as soon as the move of God. But we say together, not today. I'm saying it, not today. And then not today. For I know who my daddy is, and I love him, and he loves me. So I thank you all for listening in this morning. I pray that you have a wonderful and blessed day. A word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. is this? And I do not have Sister Carolyn's word for today. She has not sent it yet, but I will make sure that we have today's word, tomorrow's word, as well as Sunday's word on Sunday, which will be New Testament, Psalm, and Proverbs. So thank you so much for listening in, family. Have a wonderful and blessed day. And as we say every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord. And know that he is with you wherever you go. And that what? The Lord is righteous. So don't worry. If you're going through, that just means God has something better for you. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. I got to go to work. And I am going because I feel so much better. You know, that little bit. The enemy thought, I'm going to hit you now. Not today. You got to start standing with me. Not today. Not today. I got things to do for the Lord. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.